So Marcus, we want the cardboard back for our shoes. You won't be needing it on Wednesday. What was great about meeting Marcus, I met him when he first came to the city and he got stuck in straight away. And he's been a part of church for that whole time. And that's what God wants for us. We don't always know how long we're going to be somewhere, but he wants us to be living stones quickly. You know, not wander around aimlessly for 2 years and then choose finally, I'll invest my time in, oh, God's called me away. Get involved straight away. So it's great. We've got new members today. Well done. It's a great day. In this life, change is here to stay. Whether you're a Christian or not, life is full of change. I want to say it is wonderful to be a Christian when change happens. Because no one deals well with change, I would say. But if you've got Jesus helping you through the changes that come naturally in life, it's much better. I pity you if you don't know Jesus yet. Not in a bad way, pity you, but just to say, come to Jesus. It's a lot easier with him as you go through change or trauma or whatever you go through. I want to read a verse in 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. So we'll just leave that verse up for you to ponder on. But I think it helps us as Christians or as non-Christians to come and say, okay, how am I going to handle change? First thing I want to say is in times of change, we can get wounded. In times of change, we can get wounded. Now, it says here it's going to be light and momentary. That's not true if you're actually going through some trauma right now. By the way, this is always true, but it doesn't feel like it's true. That's probably a better way for me to say it. It just doesn't feel like it's light. It feels heavy when you're going through trauma. It doesn't feel like it's momentary. It feels like it's going on forever. I have, for a whole period of my life, for 3 years, which seems like nothing now, because I'm 65, 3 years when I was 26 seemed like forever. It went on and on, and every day I went on and on. And I'd be saying, how long have I got to go through this, Lord? How long? How long? And I'm thinking, will it be a week? And then a week went by. Will it be a month? And then a year went by. Will it be 2 years? 3 years went by. Now I look back and think it was light. It was momentary. And by the grace of God, he carried me through those 3 years. That's why, if you're not a Christian today, you don't know the love of the God who is so great that when we kind of give up, or actually give up, he's actually carrying us. And when I'm moaning to God saying, I'm not growing, I'm not moving forward, the truth was I was moving forward faster than ever because he picked me up. He was carrying me on his shoulders. I didn't realize I was even moving. God helps us in times of change when we get wounded. Warriors, you're all warriors for Jesus, if you're a Christian. Warriors get wounded. You're called not to look at the battle and to say, oh, isn't it interesting? Some Christians are in the battle. Every Christian's in the battle. And every Christian who lives long enough, by the grace of God, every Christian gets wounded at some point. And then when you get wounded, there's part of you that says, I'm going to protect myself now. I won't get wounded ever again. I'll just give you an illustration. Before I got wounded, as a Christian, I've been a Christian 4 years, but I used to always pray these huge prayers. Any prayer I read by any great man or woman of God, I used to love Christian biographies, I'd pray their prayers and say, God, do whatever you've got to do to me this side of heaven to make me as holy as I can be for you. And I meant it. And then I got wounded. And I stopped praying those prayers. And then after 3 years of God carrying me, I didn't even know he was doing that, but he was, I prayed differently. I prayed timidly. And my prayers were more like this. Lord, do make me holy. Don't hurt me again, Lord. That's what I was saying. Lord, do you know what I'm really saying? I'm not sure I can trust you. I'm a bit scared now. I didn't think you'd let me go through this wounding. It's a horrible thing to go through any trial. But it's an amazing thing to see how God says no one can snatch me out of my hand, and that he carries us and carries us. And if you'll let him, he will heal your wounds as well. But in times of change, warriors get wounded and then we pull back to try to protect ourselves. But they're light and they're momentary. They feel heavy and they feel forever. 3 years out of 65 doesn't seem very long now. But when I was 26, it seemed forever. And this is before I've gone to glory and seeing things from the other side of kind of eternity. In this life, we do have trouble. In times of change, you can get wounded. Don't be surprised. Don't stop trusting the God who made you. Number two, I'm going to mention three areas that are a problem, then I'm going to mention three ways we can focus on going for God. In times of change, we can become fearful and anxious. So we were called, my wife's from Didsbury, which is Manchester, not Salford, I apologise. My children were born in Stockport, so they kind of think they're Mancunians, but they're not. They've grown up in Liverpool, so they're kind of adopted Scousers now. We've been there 25 years. And when I was driving from Manchester to Liverpool, every single time I entered the city, I felt anxiety come over me. God had said, when I turned 40, God had said, Liverpool. I said to Charlotte, I think we're going to Liverpool. I've been fasting. I've just turned 40. I said, Lord, I want to give you a fast to say thank you for 40 years. I say to Charlotte, I think we're going to Liverpool. She burst into tears. You might too. She said, I don't want my children growing up as scally Scousers. Don't tell the Liverpool people, she said. That's what she said. But God helps us in times of change. But in times of change, you can become fearful and anxious. So I'm kind of, we're going. God's called us. And New Frontiers helped fund us for the first year. We got full funding the first year. Second year, you get half funding. Third year, you've got to make it on your own as a local church. But that's still a great deal if you feel God's called you to Liverpool. So I'm driving into Liverpool looking for houses. We're still living here in Heaton Moor. And every time I drove in, I'd go by what was a big Ford factory with loads of cars there. And And I'd get this thought, you know, in times of change, you're going to get more tempted. The devil knows you're a bit more vulnerable. He takes that opportunity. He doesn't go, oh, they're a bit more vulnerable, I'll give them time to recover. No, they're a bit more vulnerable, I'm going to get in here. Every time I got to the Ford factory, just outside the airport in Liverpool, this temptation came, but I thought it was me thinking. What could I do at the Ford factory if this all goes wrong? I should have had my shield of faith up and said, God's called me to Liverpool. I'm trusting God. I didn't. I started pondering, well, I wonder what I could do at the Ford factory. I'm not trained to do anything with cars, but it obviously employed an awful lot of people. God wants us to immediately turn back to Him when we're tempted. But if we think it's our own thinking, we tend to ponder it and chew it over and think, well, maybe I could sweep floors, maybe I could, who knows. But I got anxious every single time. Then we finally find a house, we get an interest-only mortgage. Does anyone have an interest-only mortgage on their house? I'll tell you what it means. It means that you pay back the interest every month, but you can't really afford to pay off the main sum. So at the end of, we had a 22-year mortgage, so we've been there 25 years now. At the end of 22 years, you've got to pay the full sum back. I think we borrowed £80,000. So now, we've got this mortgage, and I'm thinking we can't afford anything but an interest only, which was the cheapest mortgage. I'm thinking, how are we ever going to pay our mortgage back? And I get anxious about it. And I don't think I'm particularly anxious about money, but in times of change, I think we get more tempted. And in times of change, we often forget to keep up our shield of faith. And so I'd get anxious, and here's the truth, we paid off our mortgage early. Sadly, because my family, my mum and dad died, Charlotte's mum and dad died, but I hadn't even thought that way. You know, kill off my in-laws and so I can pay off my mortgage. I didn't think that way. I was thinking, how can I pay off my mortgage? What was wonderful is I think we paid it off probably something like 7 years too early in the 22 years. And Northern Rock, who we were with, were going to penalise us for paying off early. I think it was like £250 penalty. So we're like, well, we're not going to pay it all off then. So we kept one penny in the account for 7 years, or that's what we were thinking. And after 2 years, we get a letter saying it's costing us more money in administration to keep sending you because of your 1p. We'll let you off the fine. So, anyway, we paid it off 7 years early. But the devil says, how will you ever do it? You can't trust God. You can trust God. You can trust Him. In every way you can trust Him. But in times of change, we can get anxious. I don't mean when there's no change, we're not anxious. I can get anxious at any time. But I think we're more vulnerable to anxiety in times of change. In times of change, it says here, we can lose heart. We can give up. I think that's what happened to the Apostle Peter. He'd seen this amazing change he didn't want to see. You will never go to the cross, Jesus. And Jesus said, no, get behind me, Satan. He puts up his shield of faith straight away. He knows the devil's attacking him through his apostle Peter. And he realizes it's a temptation. He says, no, I do not receive that. I am going to the cross. I will die in your place. But for Peter, he was devastated. This wonderful Saviour had died. He'd given up everything. He'd stopped fishing, he'd followed Jesus everywhere. And what do we find? We find Peter goes back to fishing. And after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus goes and finds Peter and says, "Peter, do you love me?" "You know I do, Lord, but I've kind of given up. I'm hurt. Because you didn't do things the way I told you you should do them." Jesus never does things the way we tell him. He does things because he's the Lord. He knows what's best. He guides us perfectly. He's the good shepherd. We're not. We've got to learn to trust him. Peter finally says, "You know I love you, Lord. All right, I'm coming back. What do you want me to do?" "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Get back living for me, being part of local church, looking after God's people. That's what I want you to do. I don't want you fishing, Peter, except for men." Times of change, we can give up. I had a young guy with me, a young student who then stayed. He was a brilliant worship leader, brilliant young preacher. And I was thinking, well, I'm getting a bit older. It'd be great if he took over the church one day. So he started working for the church for 2 years with me. And we just had a blast together. It was brilliant. We both just loved our time together, both really encouraged. And so I'm getting ready to say to this young guy, Chris, "Would you take over the church?" And then Chris has felt God speak to him, and God calls him to Southampton. And I'm like, "No, we've been together for 2 years, and I thought you were going to, you know, and I could step back a little bit and watch you lead it." You know what happens when things like that kind of just deflate you? It says, do not be discouraged. It's so easy to get discouraged as Christians and to pull back and to think, oh. And God actually knew better. Chris is doing great in Southampton. And actually the guy who took over from me is called Andy. He works for Older Hay. He hasn't got nearly as much time, but he's brilliant at delegating. He's hardly got any time, but he's just awesome. And I've often thanked God now. Thank you that Chris went to Southampton. Thank you for bringing Andy to take over. So handing over the lead elder role, as we call it, was a joy because I've seen how well he's done. But it leaves you a bit anxious at first when you hand over. Everything in you wants to go, I want to take it back. But by the grace of God, I'd seen the way Rob Coleman had handed over the lead elder role in Bolton to Dave Prushik. And it just helped me follow that example. And it also, he handed over the church to his apostles. It's just amazing. He said, "Peter, I didn't expect you to deny me 3 times. Jesus did expect him. Jesus knows who will let him down. And he still doesn't give up on us. That's the amazing thing. So in times of change, we can give up. But 2 Corinthians reminds us that our ultimate goal is eternity. And that everything in this life is just preparing us for eternity. In Jeremiah 29, it says this, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." God never changes, and actually his plans for us don't change either. It's not like he has plan B, plan C, and oh, my life's gone all wrong, so now God's got to start plan B. My life going all wrong for 3 years was part of God's plan. He didn't cause it. He doesn't do evil. But he turns even the things that are bad. Somehow he weaves it into his tapestry so that we prosper as God's people. So, God has a plan for you. If you're not a Christian, let me invite you, give your life to Jesus today. Knowing you're in his hands and his plans is why he made you. That's why you're here. That's the reason for living. To have a relationship with the God who made you. So number one, what can you do in times of change? I would say number one, keep trusting God as change occurs. Don't hold on to things too tightly, thinking, I can't let go. I can't hand over. No, be good at holding things loosely and say, well, maybe it's time for me to hand over the lead elder role. Actually, I not only handed over the lead elder role, but Charlotte and I were planning to move away when I retire, so I'm still actually working for Jubilee Church for one more year. And we'd said to the guy, Andy, that I handed over to, we'll move away so we can be nearer our children who were in Birmingham and Nottingham. And I'll try to get back into coaching tennis as an old coach instead of a young coach when I was a 20-year-old. So that's going to be part of our retirement plan. So that was the plan, and it's not a bad idea to move away and give this young guy plenty of space. But after a year, Andy and Emma came to Charlotte and I and said, please don't move away for our sake. We love you being in the church. You're encouraging us all the time. Don't move away to give us space. If you need to move away to be near your children, that's another thing. At the same time, what's God doing? Well, our daughter had got went to Birmingham Uni, got married in Birmingham, stayed there for 10 years with her husband, and had just started to not enjoy her local church. She'd loved it for 10 years. And so they were looking around for churches in Birmingham and said, we can't find any churches that we love in Birmingham. It's a huge city. And you know, this is how funny God is. At the same time, I'm feeling a bit discouraged about, I've handed over the lead elder role and I'm thinking, I've done okay as a church leader. I haven't done a great job. I haven't built a great church. I wish there were more people in the church. Yeah. So I'm whining to God about that. And then I say to Naomi, what kind of church are you looking for? She says, one like yours, Dad. I'm like, wow, well, ours is a crap church. That's not true. That's just the devil speaking out my mouth right now. So God calls us to follow him, to trust him, and we often allow these, I would say, bombardments or temptations to be flaming arrows that hit us. Built a crap church. Bad church, sorry, I'll use different language, sorry. A bad church. I haven't built a bad church. God, by the grace of God, has helped me build a great church. And then, even as every Sunday when I'm at Jubilee, I find a tear just rolling down my cheek because I think, wow, the presence of God is here. And I felt God say to me, would you rather have a huge church without the presence of God, or would you like to have this church and have the presence of God every week? I said, Lord, I'd love it just to have your presence every week. Yeah. But Naomi said, so I said to Andy, well, Naomi just said to me something very encouraging. She wants to come to a church like ours in Birmingham. And Andy says, tell her to move to Liverpool. Long story short, she moved to Liverpool. We're staying in Liverpool. My tennis club's happy because I will be coaching there. And my church is happy. And I'm happy. Because when you're in the hands of God, the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you keep trusting him. Keep trusting him. So number one, keep trusting God as change occurs. Number two, commit yourself to the local church as change occurs. Why? Because when change occurs, Christians are vulnerable and can get hurt and can then say, right, I'm not going to church anymore because Paul was rude to me about Man United and Man City. I don't know. It's bound to happen at some point, isn't it?
Sorry.
That's not going to cut it. You need to talk face to face to them and apologize. But it is not the devil's plan for you to be a living stone in a local church and to be thriving, encouraging each other to be part of a diverse, many nations family of God. That is a taste of heaven. Being diverse is what heaven's going to be populated with. We're going to be amazed, all the different kinds of people who are in heaven. We just are. Now, this is a good, diverse church. But God's got even more for you. He wants you, like Marcus did, for I'm guessing for 2 years, be a living stone. Get stuck in quickly. If you haven't already got involved in being on a rota of some kind, for me in Liverpool, if you're not on a rota, I want to talk to you because there's probably something you'd love to do, something you'd love to help, and probably there are some areas that would really help the church if you got involved. So commit yourself to local church as change occurs. So many give up on church. So many who would, church leaders aren't going to church in their old age. And as you get older, make disciples. Keep teaching people all that you've learned. You've learned lots. Keep teaching others. Keep passing on the baton. And when you pass on the baton, don't just go, run, Paul, run, Savoy, go. Run behind them. Maybe not quite so fast, but run behind them. Go. That's what God wants for us. We're all meant to be running at whatever pace we can. Now, number three, I would say, and lastly, these wounded warriors I talked about, I meet people because I've been wounded. I meet people and I know they've been wounded. That's not a bad thing, by the way. It's great if you can recognize, oh, they're hurting. That's a great thing if you're kind. It's not very good if you're not kind. God's put kindness in me. I love helping people who are hurting. But you cannot help people if you're still wounded. If your wound is festering, I've got a scar here. It was a festering wound at one stage. Now it's just a scar. It doesn't hurt at all. A scar doesn't hurt anymore. It's a mark on your body that says you were wounded at one time. It was just a fist, by the way. So don't think I was stabbed in Liverpool. I wasn't. I know we've got knife prone. So, wounded warriors can become wise and just have a scar. And God wants that for you. He wants you to know that even if you've been wounded, it's light, it's momentary. It's an amazing thing to be able to help others. Now, you may not have that wisdom yet for the festering wound to become a scar. It says, count it pure joy when various trials come upon you. I never did that. I moaned to God when various trials came upon me. I just did. And I moaned and I moaned and I moaned and I moaned until it was all over. And then God helped me to look back and I realized, wow, it's just a scar now. I can help people. But he showed me all the things that changed during those 3 years. I was like, wow, I didn't realize how much I'd changed from being a proud Christian to a very humble Christian. An uncaring Christian to a very caring Christian. So many changes, it would take me too long to mention them all. But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. What's it talking about? If anyone lacks wisdom when they're wounded, to count it pure joy and say, Lord, I hate what I'm going through right now, but I'm going to keep trusting you. That's wise. I hate this, but I know you've got good plans for me. I'm going to keep looking to you. That's wise. Lord, it's a festering wound right now. I'm looking to you. Please let it heal quickly. Let it just be a scar so I can help others. Lord, you're my joy. You're my strength. I'm looking to you. If anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask God, so that they can count it pure joy when various trials come upon them. So I'd love us to finish by praying. And I want to pray, really, for anyone who's wounded right now, that God turns it into wisdom. For anyone who's anxious right now, because they're going through some kind of change, they're about to retire or about to move to another country. Doesn't mean you have to be anxious. But I would love to pray for anyone who's going through a period of change right now and they want God to break in some way, shape or form. I'll just pray a general prayer and then I'll hand back to Paul. Father, we ask for the amazing grace to be on our lives, to focus on you, the unseen one, and to trust you and to lean on you and to be living stones in your family, in a local church, and to learn to help others who are wounded with areas where we've been scarred. In Jesus' name, amen.